Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the same Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
One of the heroes of the 4th century in the church is a guy named Gregory. He will eventually become known as Gregory of Nyssa. He'll become the bishop of a tiny little city, a place not much more than a wide spot in the road. Gregory had a friend, a mentor named Meletius. You don't need to remember Meletius for the point of this morning's sermon. But Gregory delivered what was one of several homilies at his friend and mentor's passing. And he opened his comments this way. He said, "These holy ones in heaven have drawn to themselves one of the same conversion. Those athletes have drawn a fellow athlete. Those crowned ones, another crowned like them. The pure in heart, a chaste in soul. Those ministers of the word have called another herald of that same word. Oh, that it were possible I could nerve my weakness and rising to full proportions of our loss, burst out of with a voice of lamentation, adequate to the greatness of the distress, as all those excellent speakers who come before me today have done, who have bewailed with a loud voice all the misfortune that befell our brother. But what can I do? How shall I open my mouth when subdued by speechlessness? How shall I give voice to that sinking feeling? How can I lift up the eyes of my soul, veiled as I am in the darkness? Who will pierce for me this dark cloud and bring again the bright ray of peace?" Turning to this morning's readings, God said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Ezekiel answered, "O Lord God, you know." If you're here for the first time this morning, first time in a long time, we're glad you've joined us on a special day in our parish's life. Today we're looking back on all God has done in the last 3 years at St. Francis. Today happens to be my final day as the priest and pastor of this community. And it's fitting that it's today. We remember the Feast of Pentecost, the smoke rising from the mountains, and we have smoke rising from our altar. We remember the Holy Spirit coming among us. There'll be time a little bit later to talk about the great gift that this time at St. Francis has been for Elizabeth and I. And we're going to return to the Feast of Pentecost in this sermon in just a moment. But first, it's also fitting that our first reading that was assigned by chance today is the great story of the dry bones. The story of the prophet Ezekiel wandering about in the field of death, surrounded only by bones, only to see the Spirit act and the bones come alive. The reading is fitting because those who are here today, who were here that first weekend we shared together 3 years ago, know the answer in a new way to that question God asks Ezekiel: can these bones live? Those who've been here through this journey know, yes, God brings dead things back to life. It's pretty much what he does all the time. Death to life. We don't talk about it a ton. There's not a lot of need to. But 3 years ago, our parish was a very different place. It was a place we all seriously wondered about whether or not it would survive, whether or not this day would come. It was a place with significant gifts and resources, to be sure, but a place with an uncertain future. And this story of the dry bones comes from the time when God's people, his chosen people Israel, they had been kicked out of the land he had promised them. And they were living in exile under a foreign king. God's promises seemed to be worthless. It was one of the darkest moments in Israel's stories. It had really come to this. Some young prophet wandering about in a valley full of dead bones. A strewing of remains, no longer even skeletal. They weren't connected, it says. So definitely of the past, of former glory, that the bones had no personal identities. You couldn't walk around and see them and point and even say, "Oh, Frank, poor Frank, you knew him so well." No, they were just an unrecognizable valley full of bones. Not unlike Ezekiel this morning, we walked together, some of us 3 years ago, as a parish looking at all our bones. Some were in different shapes than others, but there was much to mourn. And yet, we heard God whisper, "Can these bones live?" Swallowing hard, tepidly, if we're honest, a little uncertainly, we whispered back, "O Lord God, you know." Over the last 3 years, the same spirit that moved through Ezekiel, that put flesh and blood and breath back on those bones, restoring Israel to her former glory, that same spirit that has been moving through our parish, putting flesh back on our bones, drawing many of us to the gospel of Christ in new ways, seeing almost all of us grow deeper and deeper in love with the Lord and with those whom he loves. We have seen what it means when God says to the reconstituted and the resurrected bones of Israel, "I will put my spirit within you. You shall live, and I will put you on your own soil. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and that I act." God has acted, indeed. That Holy Spirit that came and resurrected the bones among which Ezekiel walked in that valley, that same Spirit is the Holy Spirit that came down upon the apostles in that reading from Acts. Today, it's thought of as the birthday of the church, as when the Holy Spirit came down on our fathers in faith and did something new in God's kingdom. You see, it's really important that we see the differences between these two Holy Spirit stories this morning. Both stories contain the exact same Holy Spirit, but he moves in decidedly different directions. With the dry bones, we see the Spirit restoring and resurrecting God's people. Certainly a story that means a lot to a lot of us who've been through these years together. But in the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles, Israel isn't alone in being resurrected. Rather, the apostles, they begin to speak in all the languages of the known world. It becomes clear that God's project of restoring the relationship between God and human beings, a relationship that human beings decided we didn't want, but a relationship that God in love was not giving up on. It becomes clear that this moment in the story, when the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles, that God's restoration of relationship with human beings is entering a new chapter. No longer just for Israel, God's restoration is coming to the whole world. That's what all the languages mean. You see, here's the crucial part, my brothers and sisters. It becomes clear in the Feast of Pentecost, in our second Holy Spirit story this morning, that the church is going to be about those who are not already in her fold. We are given a new way of having the Holy Spirit work through us. No longer is that Spirit just going to resurrect God's already existing people as he did with the dry bones. God is now offering that resurrecting Holy Spirit to the whole world. And here's the thing. There are dry bones everywhere. You remember Ezekiel walking about amongst them, not even able to recognize who they had once been? That is our place in this broken world, my friends. We walk about in our families, in our communities, in our streets, in our workplaces, in our church, with our friends, with strangers we meet but once. We walk about among them, and we realize we are walking through dry bones. And no longer is the Spirit that animates these bones just for those whom God has already made himself obvious. No, the apostles were empowered with the languages of the world because the Spirit that put the bones back together in front of Ezekiel, the Spirit who breathed life into a new creation, is going to put the whole world back together. And he's going to do it through you and me. All preachers have annoying sayings that they can't stop saying, and this is probably one of mine. God's plan A for seeing salvation of the world, the salvation of the world that he promised in Christ would come to pass. God's plan A for salvation in our time is the church. And God doesn't have a plan B. We have witnessed incredible things by the Holy Spirit in our time together. My prayer for us, for St. Francis going forward, will be what it has since we started together. We must continue to become a parish that exists first for God, second for those who do not know him and those who need him. That's everyone. And then finally, and only after the whole world has been brought into a relationship with him, do we exist for ourselves. It must remain God and Christ first, everyone else second, and frankly, those of us who are already here never really getting up to the attention. Gregory, the author of that funeral speech we started with, he ended this way. He said, "As you carry out the bones of Meletius, our departed brother, sorrow not as those who have no hope. The church's ministry is not about a single person, but about the mission of the gospel that goes on well past when all of us will be carried out of some church in bones. Remember bones, they come to life. And those bones are everywhere, coming to life through the Spirit given to the church, given to you and to me anew this day. In the name of the living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.